Welcome to the 2021 AFL Premiership season on AFL Nation.
Curls it into the pocket. Cameron wants it. Cameron gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball to.
Dining tables, buffets, decor, and more. Hurry, sale ends tomorrow. T's and C's apply.
Every interview and every show. Listen to the podcast now. Just click the catch up button on the SEN app.
This footy season, your team isn't guaranteed to finish on top, but you can be on top of the table for tyre safety when you get the power with Tyre Power. The store-wide super sale is on now, and Tyre Power has you covered for tyre safety. Buy three, get one free on selected passenger and SUV Kumho tyres. And, like your team kicking a goal to win, the free 5-minute tyre safety check offers tremendous peace of mind. Find your local independently Aussie-owned Tyre Power at tyrepower.com.au.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles.
Choose Beaumont Tiles for 28% off floor tiles. Australia's best.
Deep voice. And the 261 gamer that played for St Kilda and Port Adelaide. He's a premiership player. Never arrived late for a game, but he's late today. He's just sat down. Darryl Wakelin. Waco, have you turned yourself on?
Gentlemen, absolutely. So I've been switched on since 8 o'clock this morning, Kimbo.
You had cut great, it fine, don't you?
Had
you
a great hit out against the Glenunga Rams and the Unley Jets this morning.
What were you coaching this morning?
Under 14s, yeah. I coached my lad's side just out at Kingswood Oval there. So we had a great little hit out first round next week.
And is this the first year you've been coaching?
First year coaching.
How have you been finding it?
So full pre-season, yeah. It's a lot of work. I mean, you go through a program like we have with the 14s, the expectations, you know, from parents and whatever, it's high.
Yeah,
and, it's the world we live in these days.
No doubt about that. There are expectation upon a few clubs over the weekend. Some have failed, some perform. Hey, Coxie, let's just jump into it and look at some of the results so far, and we'll have a chat about those games because there's been some cracking games and there's been a few one-sided ones as well.
Yeah, there certainly has. Good afternoon.
There's that
everyone.
Deep voice I told you about that. You've got a baby face, I tell you. What he seats up on.
I need a bit of that.
I thought he was 12 when I walked in. It was the first time I've met him. Have a listen to that voice.
Oh, you made me all embarrassed now. I don't know whether I can on talking.
You'll be fine.
It's been a really intriguing round of footy. Last night's games, Port over Carlton, and a real missed opportunity, I feel, for the Blues last night. And I know there's already been conversations about their performance, but going down to the Power last night by 28 points at the MCG. There's a few battered bodies we hear out of Port Adelaide as well this morning. But for the Blues, it's just that was the game where they almost needed to benchmark themselves in terms of challenging for the top eight. They didn't quite do that. So there's a little asterisk now over what they might be able to achieve.
I think it's a bloody huge asterisk. And we were talking about it on our show, Coxie, during the week, like the way injuries are impacting on some clubs, how they're going to sit after round eight, what the next month looks like. And you were spot on. It was a crucial game for Carlton last night. Port Adelaide, it would have been bad with their expectations, but they're strong enough to recover. Carlton, though, like, gee, they just didn't perform against an undermanned Port Adelaide side. They take on Brisbane at Marvel next week, Essendon at the MCG, and then the red-hot Western Bulldogs. So I would say, at best, they're going to be 3-5 after 8 games. That makes it very hard to play finals.
And particularly given they're still, I feel, trying to settle their game plan. They've got players coming in and out of the side at the moment. From a Port Adelaide perspective, I think that's actually an important win for them last night off the back of last week's game against the Tigers to back it up and put in another solid performance like that with a few injury concerns around a few players as well. I think that was a really solid hit out from them last night. And again, I know there's a lot of people saying, oh, who have they beaten this year? And Richmond's probably the only real challenger that they've come up
it's
against so
one.
Far. And the West Coast Eagles. But I really think Port Adelaide that they're or thereabouts this year, given
there's,
what they've been
no
able to do.
There's no doubt about that. And the big fella on your right there is a former board member and a former premiership player for them. Hey, we'll get your thoughts, Waco, but you can get involved all day on the social feedback line for Summit Internet, Faster Business Internet. If you want to be interactive and challenge anything we say or ask a question, head to @AFLNation on Twitter. You lost Erzma, you lost Butters, two young superstars. Houston's done a shoulder. Poor old Hamish Hartlett, that took us back to the 80s, running around in a forward pocket on one leg with a cork thigh.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, probably our three better users of the footy too, and that's probably the thing that stands out for me. And, you know, them type of players, you talk about coming into the season, Port Adelaide were already starting to build that depth. All of a sudden, you thought they had the depth down front, down back with the Lear coming in, and you just think they had a few options there. But you lose three of your best ball users through the midfield part of the ground, and Houston can play a lot of his footy off half back. So it's a big hole to fill. What's behind them? Bergman came into the side last night. He's an excellent user of the football off half back and on the wing, but at some stage it will catch up. I think there's enough momentum in that squad to continue that going. If they were to take another hit through that midfield, that's going to really start to affect. Maybe not next week or the week after, but as you get into the season.
A little bit down the track. You can look at the flip side, though, the positive. You get a bit more game time into some of these young players, like Woodcock got another opportunity.
Yes.
At some stage, we may see Jackson Mead. I think everyone's excited about that. And can I just say, the recruit of the year, happy to be challenged on this, and I'm sure someone will throw up another name, but Alia reminds me of a young D. Wakeland, but more agile and better in the air.
Yeah, better looking than me too, Kimbo.
Hang on. You did at nightclubs with St Kilda back in the day, you and your brother.
You were hitting your prime back when I was a kid, Kimbo, and you're still in your prime.
Don't bring it back to me. I'm blushing. I'm blushing.
But I think with Lear, the thing there is that the acceptance that he's not your number one defender, but he's your third. And so let's not expect something out of Alia that they didn't recruit him for, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They recruited him to be that third defender, man up. Whenever he goes at the ball, he expects to mark the football, counter-attack, intercept, counter-attack. That's his game. I think when you've got bookends like Cleary and Jonas, you'd be loving it as a third tool, wouldn't you?
Oh, no doubt. He plays like a forward. He just seeks front position all the time. This is the pre-game show for AFL Nation, for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. There's no doubt about that. And hard yakka for a new breed of legends.
Yeah, the other game last night, the Lions taking on the Bombers up at the Gabba. The first time the Lions got back home after their couple of weeks in Melbourne, given the COVID situation there. But a 57-point victory over the Bombers. What do we make of that performance for them, considering, again, they've been another side similar to, I suppose, Carlton, that's been a bit hit and miss so far to start the season, to get back on their home deck against a young Bombers side, and we know that the depth issues that they've got with their injuries today. Joe Danaher up against his old side as well was a bit of byplay last night. What do we think about the Lions' performance?
Yeah, look, I just think the depth they had through their midfield and the firepower they have up forward, they're going to stand themselves in good stead, and they knew it was going to potentially take a little bit of momentum. They went deep into finals last year. We knew with the side that they have and with a few of the new recruits that have come in, it would take a while to adjust. So are they up there with the Port Adelaides? I think they're there with Port Adelaide. Can they go at it with a Geelong and Richmond and maybe a West Coast? I don't know. They seem to match up very well against Port Adelaide, who have obviously been on the top of the ladder for all of last year. The matchups, they seem to be right. But the real, when the whips are cracking in that finals, I still think there's a question mark there. But they'll build momentum. They'll win lots of games.
Good to see Hipwood 3 goals, Danaher 2 goals. That's been a query over them in the first month about their forward line.
That's why they paid him the big bucks to get him up there. Look, I like them, Waco. I think they're up there with the big boys. They were sitting at 1-3, but I wasn't overly concerned. They probably should have won the game against Geelong. There was the poor umpiring decision. You have a look at the next month, and I think the biggest thing when you look at their lineup as well, they genuinely only have one injury. He's a good player, Cam Rayner. He's out for the year. They've ticked off the Bombers last night. They're sitting at 8th at the moment at 2-3. They'll go out of the 8 probably at the end of this round. Then they take on Carlton at Marvel. If they falter there, there'll be question marks. I don't think they will. Port Adelaide at the Gabba round 7 is a big one. That's a huge one. There's been some epic battles. You would have been around back in the day. Were you playing when there were the draws up there?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolute cracker encounters and some sensational sides going around at that time. Hugely tough, powerful side that Brisbane side was, wasn't it, in the early 2000s?
And then in round 8, they take on Freo and Perth, which won't be easy. So I reckon after 8 rounds, they'll be sitting around 4-4. I think they're well and truly in the mix.
You got to come to play. Every week, I keep looking at the size that you think are going to drop off. And like Port, I thought a few of the Port people last week and they go, this is a real danger game. And I said, absolutely. So it should be because they're a bloody good side and they got some a huge amount of talent. So I like the fact that we're playing at the MCG. I think we play the wider grounds a little bit better and that's suited as opposed to playing Carlton at Marvel. But you need to keep coming up. You want to be the best. You've got to keep coming up each week and you've got to have that mindset. And there's no such thing as a danger game. You've got to keep coming and be aggressive.
And speaking of being aggressive, the last 2 weeks for GWS, they got a win over Sydney last night. Just a side note, the goonsies that they were running around in last night, I don't know whether you caught them. They are superb.
I was listening to AFL Nation. I didn't get a look at it.
You didn't? Oh, well, I'll tell you what.
I'm very happy with the result and Josh Kelly's work with a minute to go.
Do yourself a favour. Get a look at a nice dark with an orange outline around the G. I reckon it looks sensational. But anyway, the performance for them over against the Sydney Swans side that's been running hot for the better part of this year. 2-point victory for GWS. Back-to-back wins for them. Their backs were up against the wall at the MCG last week against the Pies. To get a performance like that over a rampaging Sydney, I think that just starts to realign this season to get themselves back on track.
I think it says a lot about youth, doesn't it? I mean, there's such a young, youthful Sydney side, exuberance. Sometimes when they talk about in car racing on the Daytona, Kimbo, when they hit the wall, and sometimes these kids can come in and they just go for it. And they don't know the consequences of second-guessing themselves. But all of a sudden, that does come in. And when you have such an influx of youth into that group, inevitably, you're going to come up. And you come up against some... There's still a lot of talent on that GWS list, especially through that midfield.
I think it's going to be a battle, though. It's not a battle for the Western Bulldogs. They're doing something they haven't done for a long, long time. That's to win the first five games of the season. They sit on top of the ladder. They had a 62-point victory over the Gold Coast Suns, who have been ravaged by injury, we must say. And one of the better players yesterday, a former Adelaide Crow, they discovered this cricketer. Alex Keith joins us. Keithy, thanks for your time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problems at all. Kim Dillon speaking. How are you finding Doggyland? You've had a couple of years there. How's it compared to your time at Adelaide?
Yeah, no, it's been great. Obviously very grateful to Adelaide for giving me the opportunity out of cricket, and had a great few years there. And really, really appreciative for the trade that went through, and enjoying the new teammates of the Dogs.
Can we just tidy it up? When you left, I believe you wanted to stay, but the Doggies gave you security.
Yeah, like I think it was mutual decision is probably the right term, I guess. It's Adelaide were in a transition period, and it was a good opportunity for me to move back close to the family and take an opportunity where I'd probably have a little bit more responsibility at the Dogs, and really exciting young list at that stage. So as I said, very, very grateful for the opportunity.
And Alex, you're coming up around 60 games as you move through the season. Could you have thought that you'd potentially be a 100 game player when you first come in and really taken it seriously in the system?
Yeah. No, definitely no thoughts of that sort of milestone. And I was treated like I was injured when I first got to the club. I was still playing cricket, and I think they are a bit worried I might stuff up some of the drills coming in, straight in and training with some AFL players. So it's a goal of mine to play my first game, and anything from there was a real bonus.
And you're 27, 28 this year. You obviously still feel like you're learning your craft down back. I mean, you're such a great intercept mark. You play that one-on-one game so well, but always looking to develop your game still, even at your age?
Yeah, definitely. I think at Adelaide, I was really lucky to have some mature bodies around me, and taught me, the art of defend first and some of the real fundamentals there. And I've really enjoyed my time at the Dogs, and they challenged me to, build my game. And they, they talk about 18-man offense and defense. So, a bit more stuff with challenging me around ball in hand and things like that. Rowan Smith and Bevo as well have challenged me in that space. So, it's been a good learning environment.
And that learning experience, Alex, for this season in particular with the rule changes and how quickly the ball's moving, what's been the biggest takeaway for yourself over the course of the first five games that you've played this season?
Yeah, not to give away 50-metre penalties. For a start, I stuffed up that rule in the first game. I was a bit too eager on the mark, but I think it's a great rule for the game, and credit to the AFL. I was certainly one of the doubters when the rule was being talked about, and I thought that manning the mark aggressively was really important to team defence, but I think everyone would agree now that it's allowed the game to open up, and it puts us under a bit more pressure defensively, but I think it's a really good spectacle for fans.
I was going to say, how have you had to evolve your own game style to suit that, given that you would like to be aggressive on the mark? How have you had to alter your own way of playing?
Yeah, I think that there's less times where players are having to kick over fingertips when they've taken a mark, so that means the ball's probably coming in a little bit cleaner into the forward line. So you've got to, I think, defend a little bit closer. It's been seen pretty clearly that, you need to be right on your toes and ready to, I guess not zone off as much, but then, find those opportunities when you can to intercept and help your teammates out.
I tell you what, Keithy, your midfield's just rude at the moment. Bontempelli, 33 touches. Dunkley, 38. They're just going crazy. And then you must be laughing all the way to the bank with Adam Treloar as well. The midfield you've got is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it is. It's pretty special at the moment, and I think something that probably hasn't been spoken about is how team first they all are. And if someone gets tagged or they find an opportunity where they can pull other teams apart, if someone's getting some attention, then and either of them are happy to do that. So they're good players, but also good team first players, I think, which is been great in the early rounds, and certainly makes it a lot easier for us defenders when there's that heat on in the midfield.
Now, when you're at Adelaide, correct me if I'm wrong, your nickname was the Grandpa. Are they still calling you that at the Doggies, or are they giving you a different name? You're very one pace, and you wear the slippers and tracky dacks.
That's not bad, actually. I can't argue with that. I don't.
Are they giving you a new nickname?
not really. It's Keithy, or they've been calling me Cheeky a bit, but Ron's with Ron, so yeah, it's pretty
Cheeky
pretty
Keithy.
Stock standard. Yeah, I think they can do a bit better than that, but anyway, you don't choose them, do you? So yeah. I still wear the same slippers though.
You were famous for that, and someone that would have taken the mickey out of you was Taylor Walker. You got very different captains. He was your captain at Adelaide, now you got the Bont. Tell us how they vary.
Both different in their own ways, but both exceptional leaders, and I think just the respect amongst the players is what sets them apart. I think the AFLPA player vote for best captain, they've both been up there, right up there. I think Bont was second last year in his first year, so, and Tex won it, I think, a couple of years when I was over there, so I've been very fortunate to have them both as captain.
The belief that the Bulldogs group is starting to generate now, and we're seeing the confidence with how you've played in the first five rounds, what do you think is ultimately achievable this year for the Western Bulldogs group?
Yeah, I think there's a lots of opportunities now that we've set a little foundation for ourselves. But we've still got the bulk of the season to go, and I think we've got to keep learning and developing. Bevo was pretty firm on us about the third quarter yesterday, where we were unfortunately let the Gold Coast score quite heavily. After some pretty powerful footy in the first half, so. Yeah, I think Bevo just wants us to keep learning, and but see each week as an opportunity to win. He doesn't feel like we're getting closer and closer to a loss. We want the mindset to be chasing the next win. So that's as as basic as we want to keep it, and it's a long season.
This is AFL Nation. We're having a chat to Western Bulldogs defender Alex Keith, also affectionately known as Gramps, old Grandpa Keithy. Tell you what, you'll need the long underwear next Friday. You're going to Manuka to take on the Giants. It gets damn cold there, Alex.
Yeah, no, it does. I played against, we've been to Ballarat, obviously, last week, and so that might be a bit of a tune-up for it. But, no, we're looking forward to it, and the club, you know, really looks forward to the games against GWS, and we anticipate it'll be a pretty fierce contest again.
Alex, always good to have a chat. Congratulations on the success so far and your game yesterday with your 20 possessions. You're looking right at home at the Doggies. They're going to be very hard to beat. We hope to chat to you again throughout the year. All the best at Manuka.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
No worries. It's always weird seeing someone go through an airport with slippers on. He is a very relaxed dude, Waco. I'll tell you what. But a handy defender. Very good intercept mark, as you mentioned.
No, he's just solid, so dependable. You know, he's in that sort of Cleary Jonas type mould. You just plug him back there and his intercept marking and what that does to a forward's head, and you've got a backman taking them intercept marks, it's very much underrated.
And he was very clear about it because there was some miscommunication early when Adelaide were getting rid of players and people were saying everyone's jumping out of Adelaide. But the Adelaide Football Club were keen. They knew where they were heading. Should have never bottomed out like they did. But because of his age, I think they end up getting a third-round draft pick for him. You got to give away something to get something. Same as Mitch McGovern. They weren't prepared to pay that big dollars that Carlton have. He made a comeback last night. He's got a way to go to repay them for what he's getting paid, Mitch McGovern.
I think importantly, and as much as I hate to say it, Kimbo, backs are replaceable. You can find a defender, a lockdown defender, which he is, as good an intercept mark as he is. You can find a replacement. And what you don't want to do is clog up your list with salary and clog up your salary cap with a 27, 28-year-old who you find someone out there, as they know. They got a lot of depth down in that midfield, in that back line. Doty coming through, Tarley injured at the moment, but they've got a lot of options down there.
Have to go to a break, boys. Just a reminder, it's not too late to join the Ream AFL Tipping League at tipping.sen.com.au and win big weekly and grand prizes. Other games, Coxie?
Yeah, with the Friday night encounter over in the West, I think this one was expected. The West Coast Eagles getting over the Pies by 27 points. But, geez, the Pies have got some injury concerns out of
that
game.
I like the Pies going into that game, and they were crawled with injuries to Goey and then Jeremy Howe. I reckon they were a silly chance to win that without those injuries.
And made a couple of changes coming into the game. They weren't massive axe-wielding, slashing changes into the side, but you felt that there may have been a glimmer of hope for them, but obviously the injuries crawled them, and they just can't seem to click, can they?
No, Darcy Moore went up forward. They're 1-4, Waco. Can they make it?
I don't think so. Taylor Adams out for 10 weeks, Kimbo, and I just don't think they can come back from there. There's too many good sides around and running deep right through to 12th position, so there's some informed sides. What happens to a team like Sydney potentially dropping out as they lose a bit of momentum, but I just can't see them doing enough, and that they just don't have the depth to be able to go deep into the end of the year. And that's what you need.
Absolutely love Bucks. He's very serious and dry this year, though.
He is, and it's an interesting encounter next week. The Pies up against the Bombers. I give them one last roll of the dice in that one.
That's a fair call, isn't it?
Well, that'll keep them alive. They should win that one. Of course, that's the Anzac Day game. They miss a couple of big players, though.
They will be. And then rewinding all the way back to Thursday night as well, we had the Tigers' big win over the Saints after the Saints had an impressive second half against the Eagles the week before. Where do you see them, Wakes? It's just they seem to be one of those sides you can't get a read on at the moment.
Well, you see West Coast so dominant over Port Adelaide in the West. They come across to Melbourne. Saints just run over the top of them. We know West Coast don't travel well, but still, to get up in it, they had a very good side in that night, West Coast. St Kilda, I just felt they were nearly there on Friday night, and they were hanging in there, but they just didn't make the most of them opportunities to put scoreboard pressure back on Richmond. If you don't put scoreboard pressure on Richmond, you have not got a chance.
All right, I've got to go to a break, boys. Just a reminder, if you want to have your say, head to at AFL Nation on Twitter. Just a bit of an update there. All thanks to Rold, family-made Vietnamese, served fast and fresh. This is the pre-game show on AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best and hard yakka for a new breed of legend. Still got a minute to go before we go to the break.
Just quickly on Richmond, when they're in that mood, no one can stop them, can they? And considering the loss that they had last week as well, just the fire in the belly.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? The one that stood out for me, all the veteran guys who put in so much energy, but Jack Riewoldt, with the way he played the other night, he was outstanding. Oof. Right into that last quarter. Just his energy to lay a tackle, to dive in on a ball at 31 years of age or whatever he is. I just love to see that.
And Jeff Graham's going from strength to strength, and Port Adelaide and the Crows had a bit of a sniff at him. I reckon they should have tried a little bit harder. North Adelaide boy, he's a cracker. I heard Timmy Watson saying on the breakfast show he thought he could be the next captain. All right, we'll take a break. We are here thanks to Hard Yakka and Beaumont Tiles.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont Tiles for 28% off floor tiles. Australia's best.
Welcome back to the Adelaide Oval. This is AFL Nation. Our expert here today is Darryl Wakeland. He's here for car sales, spot value with price indicators on car sales. He's done one break, Coxie. Kim Dillon with you along with Matthew Cox. The great man, 261 games, arrived late.
He did.
He's done one break.
He came in puffing on the headset.
He's gone on long service leave. I think he's had to use the amenities, but we look forward to getting his comments right throughout the game. Hey, both sides are going through their Ream warm-up for Ream, steady, hot and strong. We haven't had a chance yet to talk about this game, but I've had people throwing tomatoes at me here in Adelaide because I am so bullish on Fremantle. I just think they're more advanced with their development of their young players than what Adelaide is at the moment. They've got some experience coming back in, some class coming back into the side. It won't be easy, but if I was to put a family member's life on it, and that's the way I do my tipping, I take it very serious, Matthew. I'm on the Dockers today.
It's going to be a really intriguing contest. They're two young sides that, if they get a roll on either of them, they're a real chance to just take the game by the scruff of the neck. You mentioned the experience coming back in for the Dockers. They're starting to filter that. Rory Lobb comes back in for them today, so that's an important inclusion. No changes for the Crows. McKay goes out of the side after being the substitute last week. So it's a really intriguing contest, I think. And given where Fremantle sit, two wins, two losses, and there was a bit made about them before the season about everyone predicting them almost to be what the Sydney Swans are currently doing and to really jump up the table with their development. We know they've been crawled by injury over the first month. But I think if they are to be in that conversation and consideration, then they need to have a big win today.
Yeah, very, very much so. And you talk about their injuries. They had out in previous weeks, Joel Hamling, Stephen Hill, Rory Lobb comes back in, Alex Pearce is still out, Lachie Schultz comes back in after concussion. Hayden Young, who I think is an absolute gun, one of the best players in the competition, he is an absolute beauty. He's out as well. But we'll have a closer look at that game a little bit later on. A few rumours flying around in the last 24 hours. I choked on my cornflakes this morning at the possibility, and we'll refer to you or defer to you, Waco. Good that you got a coffee for yourself. And
Sorry.
you only had two hands. You got one for Coxie, one for yourself.
I had a sandwich and I had my Coke, and then I had the coffee.
No, so happy to take a bullet.
Rucci's making you one. He's going to bring it down.
Michelangelo Rucci, my compadre on our afternoon sports show, Kimbar and the Rooch on SEN here in Adelaide. 1629, your new home of sport. Great man. Great. Chief footy writer at the Advertiser for 30 years. And did he look after Port Adelaide in those 30 years? I tell you.
Well, I look after him now down in the heartland down there. He comes into the pharmacy a couple times a week. So I know he's a thoroughbred Rooch, and he'll love me saying that. But we just look after him down there like we do. We look after our own, Kimbo.
I would have called him a Shetland pony at best. I couldn't believe the story. It was floating around yesterday. It may have been out even a little bit before, but just in the last 48 hours, the possibility of Gary Ablett Jr. wanting to make a comeback. Now, we'll look at the technicalities of it, Coxie. You've been through it. But on face value, Waco, like I thought, in the nicest possible way, he was done.
His body, to me, looks the last probably 2 or 3 years, like he was carrying an extra probably 3, 4, 5 kilo.
Yep.
Unless he can come out and show something this year, go on a massive fitness program. But he just looked a slow version of the old Ablett, didn't he?
Yeah, very much so. Now, the AFL rules say that he can't make a comeback, Matthew, that's right?
That's it, yeah. So the rules state that anyone who has been retired from the AFL must be off a list for more than 12 months to be selected in the mid-season rookie draft or the pre-season supplemental selection period. So that virtually rules him out for this year.
So there's an official... So Geelong at the end of last year would have put in an official retirement form, some special form out there, I can't remember doing anything at the end of my career. Not that anyone would have been interested in me. I can't remember signing anything to say I'm officially retired. So, but there must be something in the back end that ties into salary cap, et cetera, et cetera.
It's to do with the list changes. I think that where you've got a list beside whether it's been traded or delisted or retired. So I'm assuming that'd be where the technicality
is. So Mitch Cleary has said on the AFL website, he's gone bang, you can just put that to bed. Yeah, Damien Barrett, who also is employed by the AFL, said on Channel 9 this morning on their early news with Beck Madden, that the AFL is infamous for rewriting rules that suit themselves. And if he really wanted to come back, there would be a distinct possibility. I think it's more about being able to play.
Look, at the end of the day, it's a rule. It's not a legal binding. You know,
yeah.
So I would think that if he was serious about it and a club was serious about, whether it was Geelong or whoever it was, I'm assuming it's Geelong to go back. Would Geelong want him to get back there? I don't know. But you would think there'd be some sort of application, special conditions, and to allow that. And you would have to consider it on its merits. Why wouldn't you?
Well, I suppose you have a look at everything, but he was saying his shoulder was still a couple of months away from being perfect because he hasn't been doing the rehab, so...
He's had going on personally as well, you wouldn't think he's on any strict pre-season program that you would have had. At a bare minimum, you would have had to be running an SNFL-type program for the last 3 to 4 months leading it. Like, you couldn't take a chance on an old body like that without it.
And the other thing is, do Geelong actually need that sort of player?
Well, I don't think Lukey Dowhouse would be happy or Graham Myers.
And they've still got Jeremy Cameron to slot into that forward line as well. So, I think it'd disturb their season rather than enhance it.
And I'm tipping he's not going to play on minimum chips, is he? I did all them years, Kimbo.
You did very well. How many pharmacies do you own now?
Yeah, a couple. But he's not going to... I mean, why would you? Why would he come out? Is it for money? Is it for... You know, you've got to start digging into the reasons. I'm sure he's set himself up well, but you can never knock back 150 or 200.
You've become a little bit... Institutionalised. Thank you very much for that. You know, he's had 20 years in that system, and all of a sudden it stops. It's a little bit weird.
It is weird.
I was unmercifully sacked from Channel 9 after 27 years. I was a little bit lost for a while, Waco.
I thought you were going to talk about you're still thinking of Bojangles and some of them great nightclubs. Yeah, just found it hard to get yourself out of them.
Well, it was. I remember all the Adelaide 36er players used to be the bouncers on the door. You know, the chairman of the boards, Mark Davis, you know, these big man mountains. Hey, the Adelaide Crows are warming up down to the northern end. The sun is shining. Conditions are great. Of course, this was the scene of the AFLW Grand Final yesterday. Congratulations to Craig Starcevich and all the Brisbane team and their support staff and Brent Staker, who is part of the SEN family as well. They did a wonderful job. And I just think, boys, it gets to a stage, I think, in the Sandfall when North Adelaide were bullied by Glenelg for a few years. We've seen it happen in different AFL scenarios where I think this Brisbane said, we've lost two, enough is enough. And I thought Adelaide rushed their work and they panicked yesterday. They'd look at that first half and the opportunities they had and they would need to go to school on that.
Yeah, it was... disappointing, I think, from an Adelaide Crows perspective for their performance yesterday. They just didn't get any rhythm in their game at any stage of it. There were a few moments where you felt, the momentum's starting to go their way in the first half. But credit to Brisbane, because I reckon the real game-changing moment yesterday was when the ball went inside attacking 50 for the Lions and Hodder just stuck her boot out to score that miraculous goal. But that, for me, was the turning point yesterday, because that suddenly filled Brisbane with belief and confidence. and then they just played their own game, and the Crows just couldn't stop them.
Coxie, you called the game yesterday with Miles Fitzner for AFL Nation, and what was the vibe like? There was nearly 25,000 here. Now, obviously, they didn't get the old 53 like they did in 2019, just so people know around the nation. There are a number of reasons. One, the COVID restrictions is maxed out at 40.
Why couldn't they go to... So they only sold 25. Why didn't they sell 40?
Well, exactly the same reason that Port Adelaide fans haven't had 40 yet, even though they're allowed to. Crows haven't been out to get. People just a little bit nervous about getting in crowded environments.
Yeah.
Also, when they had the 53,000, it was a standalone game. Yesterday, all the AFL girls were playing in the Sandful W competition still. There was junior sport on, there was amateur league sport on, and there were Sandful games on as well yesterday. Yeah. So I think 23,000 or whatever it was pretty good. All things being said, we saw Port, you know, could have had 40, only had 28. Crows were 27.
I think it was a Sunday standalone in 2019 from memory, that grand final.
Exactly. And it was free.
And it was free.
$10 yesterday, free for kids. Yep.
There was still a good roar that went around the ground, though, particularly when in the last quarter Adelaide got a little run on in the first couple of minutes, and the big roar went up when the goal was scored down at the scoreboard end. So there was still a good vibe, good atmosphere in the house last night. But obviously, given the Crows' result, I think it was silenced a bit by a Brisbane Lions side, which finally got the monkey off the bat.
I think Brisbane were terrific. I watched the last half of the game against Collingwood last week, and they were superb. They looked gone, but their back line stands up so well. They got girls who can just read it so well, and they just take a bit of heat out, take a bit of momentum out, kick that nice little switch to the outer and then start control again. They stand up so well in the back half.
And Kate Lutkins was pivotal in that role yesterday, was awarded the best on ground as well for the
Absolutely
Brisbane Lions.
Brilliant.
So, and a couple of sad stories to come out. Emma Zilke, I think it was her final game yesterday, the skipper of the Brisbane Lions, didn't play much of a role in the second half, I think, with an injury. We saw Andrew Foley go down as well after what has been an emotional roller coaster during the week for the footy club.
Coxie, there was an article this week, and it's been around for a while now, but another one came out, and I was watching a story on the news or one of those programs where a female is 9 times more susceptible to an ACL injury than a male. And this was another innocuous one. Went up for a defensive spoil or mark, just landed. That awareness of not having your leg bent when you land, and she knew straight away. And I thought it was interesting too. They pulled one out of the Choco Williams, Mark Williams playbook. When they brought the team over to Chelsea Randall, they came out to the or over to the crowd. Now, you would have played when Choco would always take, when you're under the pump, he'd take the playing group right to the outer boundary to address everyone to rev you up. And they kicked that first goal, Coxie, and you thought, well, just maybe. They were down by 22, dragged it back to 16.
It was a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, had so many inside 50s, but...
Yeah, they kept... They just couldn't penetrate, couldn't get it deep enough, and they just needed a clean contest, but, yeah... Anyway.
Hey, before we go to a break, we might look at the live AFL ladder. Coxie, you've got that beautiful radio voice.
Yes, well, the Doggies, they're on top, and they're just going sensationally well, as we spoke to Alex Keith a little earlier. Melbourne with a game to play this afternoon as well. They take on, as I reach through for me notes, where do they take on this afternoon?
No, they're actually on there. There we go.
Melbourne.
There we go.
Take on Hawthorn at the MCG. Yep. So that'll be an interesting encounter. The Hawks coming off the loss to Freo last week. So Melbourne with an opportunity there, sitting in second. Sydney still sitting third despite their loss last night. The Power, Tigers, Eagles, Adelaide and Brisbane make up the top eight. Sitting outside, the Blues, Dockers, Cats, Giants, Saints, Bombers, Suns, Pies in 16th. Hawks 17th and North Melbourne down the bottom.
Beautifully done, Coxie. This is AFL Nation. Our expert today is Darryl Wakelin. 261 AFL games. He was a super defender, premiership player, and he's with us all thanks to... Oh, I've lost who I meant to credit you for.
Albert and Pharmacy.
No.
Pharmacy.
Oh, I got it. No, I've got it. Waco, you are here thanks to Car Sales, Spot Value with price indicators and Car Sales. Your salary will be docked for doing that. All right, we'll take a break. This is the pre-game show on the AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best, and Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.
A sports news update for Rolled. Family-made Vietnamese served fast and fresh.
Hi, it's Judd Boaz checking out the sport. In the A-League, Melbourne Victory have parted ways with head coach Grant Brebner following a 7-0 thrashing at the hands of crosstown rivals Melbourne City. The win sees Melbourne City move to the top of the ladder following Central Coast Mariners' 1-0 defeat to Western United. In the NRL, Manly shut out the Gold Coast Titans 36-0, the Eels defeated the Raiders 35-10, and South Sydney won a Golden Point thriller against the West Tigers 18-14. In the NBL, the Sydney Kings beat Cairns 89-84 off the back of some brilliance from US import Casper Ware, who dropped 40 points on the Taipans. Meanwhile, the Adelaide 36ers upset the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix 90-81, with NBA draft hopeful Josh Giddey providing 9 points and 9 assists in the win. That's the latest sport for Rolled, fast, fresh Vietnamese.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont Tiles for 28% off floor tiles. Australia's best.
Nation, we are live from Adelaide Oval. The Crows taking on the Dockers at 7th versus 10th. Kim Dillon with you, joined by Matthew Cox and the 261-game superstar, Darryl Wakelin, who played mainly as a defender, but was a pinch hitter every now and again going forward as he's just going through choking. I tell you what, he's turned up late.
Late.
Then in the first break, he's gone and got a coffee and came back late. Now he is choking on the free rolls up here in the media area.
And promoting my own sponsors.
And promoting your sponsors.
I'll be out of a job next week.
Hang on. Okay. Had a good hour. Hutchie's ringing now. Well, that's a worry. Right, hey, Waco, you were primarily a defender, but you went up forward a little bit. A lot of discussion around Darcy Moore, and I'm not saying the Bucks wilted to outside pressure, but they were struggling to kick goals. He started up forward in Perth, kicked a couple, starved of opportunities. Is he a forward or a defender?
Oh, he's a natural defender, but what always surprises me, you put a guy like that forward at the most desperate of times. If you're going to give a kid any chance, he's a... Well, 24, 25 now, I get that. So he's got 100-odd games under his belt. But you need to give a kid an opportunity when there's actually quality ball supply happening. Yeah. You've got depth through the midfield and you've got a bit of control. And then you try guys, and you see it often, that they get thrown there to the Wolves. And well, what are you going to expect? Do you think you're going to find a plug a locket, or are you going to find a superstar forward? You're not going to.
But could he be? Do you think he could be?
He can play a role up there. They need to fix their midfield. When you lose Adams, Treloar out from last year, you got a huge amount of possessions are taken out of your midfield. That has to be replaced to get that quality ball going forward. So I got no doubt I would persist in him up there if they need someone to play a role. But you're going to want to hope you got it covered down back, because you're going to lose a hell of a lot down back through, the oppo is going to score through him, and you're not going to get the rebound that Darcy Moore provides so well.
We spoke to Alex Keith a little bit earlier, and you only said about half an hour ago that with respect to defenders, and you were one, it's easier to let defenders go. It's easier to find defenders than to find a key forward.
A blocking defender. Darcy Moore is a superstar rebounding All-Australian defender, so it's a different type. He generally will take the second best tool, not necessarily the best go-to, and that's why he's such a great rebounding defender. So with a Keith type, my type, you can replace, because it's more of a Dower type role. That's just my opinion.
Very self-deprecating there. I think without a doubt, if they had a Tom Lynch playing at Richmond's Tom Lynch playing at full forward, Darcy Moore would be your centre half back, full back.
Well, and that's, I suppose, my question to you, Wakes. What do they do then, Collingwood? Because their forward line, not as desperate as what Brisbane's situation is, given they've got the talent, but they're struggling to click it there. What do Collingwood do? Because they pulled the trigger on Mason Cox and left him out of the side, even though I thought he did a few good things against GWS. But their forward structure, there's nothing really else they can do to try and manoeuvre to get something to go.
And that's the difficult thing. And with the lack of options on the ground up there, you're not going to be able to trust De Goey up there to be a 60-goal forward. You just can't trust him, because he's at that age now where he would have provided a more consistent season already than he is now. to be right up there in that real elite player. So you, I don't think you'll get that from Dugowie for the rest of his career because he hasn't got a mindset to prepare himself consistently enough. So you wish he could be that. He showed he could be that at times, but as far as finding a 60-goal consistent come-up-at-the-footy player, and the name escapes me at the moment, but their big power half-forward, he's for Collingwood...
Mychek.
He's a hard-working, come-up, bringing you the contest, and he'll bring a contest coming up the ground. You can play him deep at times, but, yeah, quality A-graders who can just clunk them can play half-forward and deep. Just so hard to come by.
Talking of contest, we can see Adelaide on the big screens there warming up down in their rooms, all thanks to Ream. That's their warm-up for Ream, steady, hot and strong. And then look at Darcy Fogarty. We'll get onto him a little bit later. Played in the midfield last week, five touches, only one touch in the midfield. Four possessions up forward, kicked three goals. Should have had four if Tex didn't take the advantage from the goal square and butcher it. Seriously, if there's a free kick paid and you're within 15, 20 metres of goal and there's no real angle, you do not pay the advantage or take it. It should just be a mindset.
Absolutely.
Why would players do that? Is it just the unselfish...
adrenaline.
Yeah, I think it's more the adrenaline. It's just things happen sometimes and you can't get them back. And we've all had them over our journey. And there's the ones you go, wow. Yeah, yep. 50,000 people seen that. I could see it from the Nullarbor that it was the wrong decision.
And it was wrong on so many levels, wasn't it? Because, one, it was right in the goal square. Two, it was going to be taken by Darcy Fogarty. He's the best kick in the team, but a young lad that needs to find a bit of confidence. It's an extra goal for him. You can say he was trying to bring Ned McHenry in with a quick handball, but it was a...
And you might, you probably won't see one of them again for the rest of the year.
Well, I hope not. No, I hope not.
It's not... From a player like that,
got to go to another break very shortly. Will we see Cade Simpson again?
No.
Mid-season draft. We spoke of Gary Ablett Jr.
He's eligible too because he was officially delisted according to Mitch Cleary's story on AFL.com.au. So that's why that conversation came up this week. But I don't think we will.
Yeah, but it's more coming down to the size that have potentially lost some off their list. Through injury or just haven't come on in the pre-season. So you need to analyse the opposition lists. And to bring him in, it's going to have to be a top 10 side. The bottom sides are just going to keep developing, I would think.
Yeah, it's got to be a side that's in the window and they lose a couple of key players and you know that he could slot straight in and get the job done. All right, this is the pre-game show on AFL Nation for Baymont Tiles, Australia's best and hard yakka for a new breed of legends.